हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarana 7, the jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. Page 103. Anyartas cha paramarshaha. The jiva is mentioned for another purpose, Brahma Sutra 1320. The sarup of the jiva is repeatedly mentioned as tatasta in order to show the sarup of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes oneness is indicated to show that the amsha is similar to the Lord. The jiva is described in his liberated state in sa tatra parayet jakshat kridan rama manaha. The jiva moves about there, eats, plays, and enjoys. Chandogya Upanishad 8.12.3. Then the difference between the jiva and the Lord is stated in the same text. Ata ya esha samprasado smach charirat samutaya param jyotir upa sampadya svena rupena bhini spadyata esha atmeti. The liberated soul rises from the body, reaches the Supreme Lord, and becomes endowed with his own form. Chandogya Upanishad 8.3.4. Sarup avirbhuta, his sarup manifests through sadhana, in the sutra refers to the jiva. By referring in the previous text, it is wrong to take this as the Lord. It is also said in Maitreyi Brahmana, nava sarvasya kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati atmanastu, kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati atmava are drashtavyaha. Everything is dear, not because of loving those objects, but because of loving the Atma. O Maitreya, Atma should be seen. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 2.4.5. Okay. Yeah. So, the elements of showing the commonality is so that the living entity is going to be inspired to take up, you know, coming to that common place. And it also shows that you can have a relationship with the Lord based on those commonalities. Because otherwise we're taking it, the Lord's no form and unlimited. We have form and we're limited. And somehow, so where's the relationship here? Where's the community? Plus, he's reality and we're illusion by the Mayavada ideas, right? So then the problem comes out is that where is community here? Because they're not interested in relationship. Therefore, for them, it sounds fine. But you can't put the two together because they're lacking the some common ground here. But here, then, you have that point. But you still have to be able to tell the difference between the Lord and the living entities. Right? Like that. Plus, it's also in this one, then it's, yeah. Purvapaksha, by pointing out that the jiva atma is to be seen, does it show that jiva is paramatma? Right? Because you're saying about you should see that one person in this, so they're saying, oh, so does that mean the jiva, because it's also to be seen, that means he's paramatma. You know? That's like, you know, how you say, the prime minister, he gets into the car, and then they tell, you know, the driver to get in the car. You like that. So does that mean, oh, now I'm the prime minister? You know? So, yeah. Uttara. No, the jiva can attain a realization of the Supreme, who can attain a realization of the Supreme Lord, also develops knowledge of a Sarup by developing knowledge of the Supreme Lord who produces his liberation. Right? So therefore, any of the points of understanding, the points of affection, the points of experience all come because of the connection with the Supreme Lord. They're not going to come on their own. Right, even Brahman realization, there has to be some understanding of the Supreme Brahman even to come to that platform. So all relationships are dependent upon understanding them in relationship to the Lord. Right? One, you know, if you want to come to the transcendental platform, even if you want to be on the material platform, by understanding that, then you understand where the potency is coming from. Does that make sense? But the point is, since it's coming from the Lord, going to the Lord, and it's going through the people that are having the relationship, then the principle comes down to is that then it's not they are producing the relationship. They may be experiencing it. Does that make sense? Yeah. The text teaches the Paramatma is to be seen by the jiva by the method which guarantees immortality. This is made clear a little later in the same text, right? So to see the Lord, you should also see him in the way that you gain, it guarantees immortality. Otherwise, on the platform of jnanamoya or manamoya, then you have knowledge of God. It's theistic moralism. So morality is in context of God. So you have knowledge of God, but that process itself will not get you liberation, will not give you immortality, right? They get distracted by going to the heavenly planets and so-called that immortality. Just means you just live for a little extra time. But you'll be back. You know? And then you got liberation, then you'll be back. So the one that guarantees immortality, only that is bhakti. Others don't. They give us an aspect of immortality in comparison to what we're living now. But in actuality, real immortality, that they do not give. So that's why it's saying is that, therefore, all these processes, all the religious processes, all the activities, whatever you do, it should be done in the context of eternal immortality. And so that means then you have to follow the methods and see the Lord is a person in his sarup, and that by understanding him, then you will also come to that transcendental platform and gain your eternal sarup. Does that make sense? There's not another process. You can't make us something up. Yeah? We're good? Yeah. Tasya va etasya mahato bhutasya nishvastitam yad rigvedo yajurvedaha. The rig in yajurvedas arose as the breathing of the great being. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2.4.10. This statement in the Upanishad is explained by Sukadeva, right? Because otherwise they say they become Ishwara, but the Veda is not coming from them. Whatever they speak is nonsense. Right? Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the satisfaction of the self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exist. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.54. You should know Krishna to be the soul of all living entities, for the benefit of the whole universe. Out of his causeless mercy has appeared as an ordinary human being by the strength of his maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.55. Right, so every living entity cares about themselves the most in the material world. But Krishna is the soul of the soul. So therefore, he's actually the most dear. Right? So that the soul has the nature he has, he's manifesting. That other living entities are manifesting what they do, and you find a value in that. That's all coming from Krishna. Right? Means if we value ourselves, we're based on Krishna. We value others in connection with us because of their relationship with Krishna. That makes sense? Yeah. So that's the idea, is that one has to see that your position, your relationship is all happening because of that connection with Krishna. like that. Living entities don't see that. That's why they're an illusion. That's where the illusion comes up. They don't actually see this knowledge. So the impersonalists, they're going for this knowledge, but by doing so, then they lose actually their own position, who they are. So then there's no real meaning to their pursuing this kind of knowledge. Right? Because you as an individual are interested. But if you stop being an individual, then what's the point? How will you perceive? Right? Because how does something that's illusion become reality? You know, if you say it's, oh, by, you know, you having that knowledge, then why is it that knowledge, you can't be reality? If you can become the Supreme Brahman, why can't you be reality in the state you're in with that same knowledge? You know? I mean, to say the living entity is illusion, but by that knowledge, then he becomes Ishwara. But the point is that he's still an individual. Yeah. Thus, the Lord is the dearest. The Jiva Sarup is thus different from the Lord's Sarup. Because he's saying the Lord is the soul of the souls. That means that there's a difference. So the Jiva Sarup is in context of the Lord's Sarup. When you appreciate the Lord's Sarup, then your Sarup becomes understood. Purva Paksha. So then the argument. If Jiva is different from Brahman, he is a transformation arising from Brahman, like the element. Is he? It is said, Yavad Vikaram Tu Vibhago Lokavat. Since all transformations came from Brahman, any object not specifically mentioned must also come from Brahman, just as in ordinary life. Brahma Sutra 236. So interesting that to gain their point, they're using actually our point to establish their point. So you can see is that it's going to be, as we mentioned before, it's a very common thing is to use someone else's philosophy against them. You know, presenting it as if it's a bona fide point only because they accept the point. Then, once you've accepted that, then again you take it out the way you want and in your own interpretive way. Right? So he's saying if everything's coming from Brahman is a transformation of Brahman, you know, so then that means we must be Brahman, right? It is not so, because Jiva's nature is different from matter according to their scriptural statements, right? So they're saying the material world came from Brahman, Jiva's are coming from Brahman, so that must mean as the material world is illusion, the Jiva's illusion. Right? Because it is not so, because Jiva's nature is different from matter according to other scriptural statements. Its difference is established without consideration of size or amount. Atma, so the first point is that it's different. Not the first point is how big is it? Is it unlimited? People want to start with that. You know, the point is no, we're servant. We're small. Like that. That's our position. Is we're part and parcel of the Lord. That's the first thing to establish. That we're servant. Then you can get down to size. Atma is accomplished by its behavior before things take shelter of transformation of amount and size, etc. Thus, Atma is not included in the items which transform from Brahman, Vibhagaha. There are also shrutis to show the Atma is eternal and not created. Because the other ones, when you say transformation, there's like a creation. But the point is here is that the Jiva doesn't transform, even in context with the material nature. Consciousness transforms, but the Jiva remains as they are. There are also shrutis to show the Atma is eternal, not created, just as the scriptures state that the objects of Vaikuntha are eternal. Thus, another statement concerning Atma negates the reasoning given above. Not mashruter nityat vach cha tabhyaha. The Jiva is not born because of shruti statements, and because its eternal nature is understood from shruti and smriti. Brahma Sutra 2.3.16. From agreement with the above sutra, it is concluded that the Jiva is different. Right? So it's different from the Lord, though at the same time non-difference, but it's different from material energy. So here is that, because they're trying to say, is that all comes? Basically, they're just trying to find another way to go around that if we've come from Brahman, we go back and become Brahman. You know, because we said material, you know, yeah. Some shruti show oneness of the jiva with the Lord. Tatrako moha ka shoka ekatvam anupashyataha. Oh, Ishupanishad. For one who sees Paramatma as one in all beings and attains him, what delusions can exist? Ishupanishad 7. There are many views in this world explained in the following. Bahava purusha loke shankhya yoga vicharane. Many people in this world are involved in shankhya yoga. Mahabharata 12.352. Like shankhya means that they're analyzing the world and all that. According to our view, however, Paramatma is different from the individual jivas, being their witness. That is stated in scripture as well. Bahunam purushanam hi yataika yonir uchate tatatam purusham vishvam akyami gunato dikam. I explained that there is one person who is the universe and who is endowed with more qualities than others. He is the source of all other beings. He is the soul of you, me, and others who are defined in terms of bodies. He is the witness of all beings. He is not understood by anyone at all. He is the head, arms, feet, eyes, and nostrils of the universe. This single person wanders in all bodies independently as he wishes. Mahabharata 12.354.5. So it seems this chapter, 12.350, I mean, this section deals with a lot of spiritual stuff.
I think Bhishma Dev's instructions.
Huh?
He uses the Bhishma Dev's instructions on the death.
Oh, okay. Nice. Bhishma Dev. That's cool. By accepting difference, the promise of knowing everything by knowing one being is not cancelled, since Brahman, one being, possesses all Shaktis. Thus, difference between the Lord and Jiva is established. Yeah. Because they're trying to establish, they're saying, okay, well, everything's one, but then if you say Jiva's different, then everything's not one. But the point is it's from that one that the Jivas come, because that one, it possesses all Shaktis. So the main difficulty with their philosophy is not accepting Brahman has Shaktis. As soon as they accept that, and that Brahman is in control of all these Shaktis, then all the different philosophical problems go away. But because they don't accept this point, then everything that they talk doesn't make sense. By knowing difference, Shruti says that liberation is achieved. Bhokta bhogyam preritaram cha matva sarvam trividham brahma etat. This Brahman has been described as three: the enjoyer, the object of enjoyment, and the inspirer. Svetasvatara Upanishad 1.12. Pritag atmanam preritaram cha matva jushtash tata tena mritatvam eti. Knowing himself to be different from he who inspires actions, invoking the pleasure of the Lord, that person attains liberation. Right? Because if you know you see everything in context of the Lord, and you know that you're different from the Lord, that person can get liberation. But that person who thinks he is the Lord, he can't get liberation. Dushtam yada pashyati anyam isham asya mahimanam iti vita shoka. When he sees the glorious Lord who is different, he gives up lamentation. Right? So when he's absorbed in the Lord and in his personal position, then he's not affected by anything material. Mundaka Upanishad 3.12. In the state of liberation, the difference between the Lord and Jiva is experienced. In his commentary in Brahma Sutra 2.1.14, Madhva says the following. Quote, some statements indicate the liberated Jiva becoming Brahman. The two become undifferentiated. For instance, it is said, Karmani vijnana mayas chatma pare vyare sarva eki bhavati. Actions and Atma, full of knowledge, become one with everything in the Supreme Indestructible. Mundaka Upanishad 3.27. Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati. The knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Mundaka Upanishad 3.29. One should not propose from these statements that the previous object ceases to exist. There are examples in the world. A lake becomes one with another lake. That is the conventional way of seeing it. However, since it is a different entity, it is included in it, but does not become the other entity. Yato dakam shudhe shudham asiktam tadrig eva bhavati evam muner vijanata atma bhavati gautama. Just as pure water poured into pure water becomes like that water, so the Atma, the intelligent sage, becomes similar to the Lord. Katha Upanishad 4.15. Right? So here it's saying similar, not saying the same. Right? When water poured into water mixes with it, the water becomes water. This is what intelligence perceives. The Jiva, however, achieves similarity to Paramatma and does not become Paramatma, since there is difference in terms of independence and other qualities. Oh Lord, Brahma, Shiva, and the Devatas cannot attain your pure nature. It belongs only to you, Skanda Purana. Right? So therefore he's pointing out is pointing out the oneness and attaining that same transcendental position. But the qualities of the Lord and the qualities of the Jiva are stated differently. The Lord is unlimited in control of everything, while the Jiva is not. So then that oneness must have some other purpose to it. Must have some other angle, right? That of the mood and all that. That would be the whole principle. So that was Madhva, right? So Ramanuja explains as follows. The Jiva liberated from ignorance by sadhana does not become one with the Lord, since it is impossible for the Jiva, which is qualified for ignorance, to become one with the Lord. The liberated Jiva attains qualities similar to the Lord's. Right, because the Jiva can be covered by ignorance, the Lord can't, so how can they become one? Right. Idam jnanam upasritya mama sadharmyam agata sarge pi no pajayante pralaye na vyatanti cha. Those who have attained qualities similar to mine, by realizing this knowledge through Guru, do not take rebirth in this world and do not experience pain at the time of death. Bhagavad Gita 14.2. Right? Yeah. So the bringing out, they have similar qualities similar to Krishna. Right? That's the whole point. Because why? They see Krishna, they try to, and they develop those qualities. That person then at the time of death can go to the Lord. Tad bhava bhavam apanas tadashau paramatmana bhaktya bhedi bhedas cha tasya jnana vrito bhavet. The Jiva attains a state with the nature of Brahman. In that sense, the Jiva attains non-difference from Paramatma by bhakti. Differs from the Lord, the Jiva is covered by ignorance. Vishnu Purana 6.7.93. Tadbhava means nature of Brahman and not becoming Brahman. He attains the nature of Brahman. Right? So we'll say because he becomes the nature of that doesn't mean he becomes that. Let's say the person, he becomes very interested in a particular, let's say, activity or something. And so he associates with those who have that activity. who are performing that on an expert level. So now he then takes on the nature of those other persons. That doesn't mean he becomes them. Right? Otherwise, the second word, bhavam, would be meaningless. Thus, tad bhava bhavam means the jiva attains the qualities of Brahman, such as apahata papma, freedom from sin. In this sense, by his nature, the jiva is similar to Paramatma. When his nature is different, identifying as a devata or human, he is covered by ignorance. Right? So, because he can become covered by ignorance, then you see that's going to be the major difference. And then the qualities that are similar, that's where the oneness is there. But one never becomes, because the Lord can't be covered by ignorance. Right? He's unlimited, we're not. So, all these different things. So, one takes you away from the Lord, and the other brings you towards the Lord. But it doesn't mean you ever become the Lord. Uttarash ched avirbhava surupas tu. If one argues that the latter passages show that the jiva has the eight qualities and is thus the space in the heart, the answer is no, because the jiva's qualities manifest through sadhana. Brahma Sutra 1.3.19. Right? Means the Lord doesn't do sadhana. He's already the Lord. We have to do sadhana. So you can't say we're the same. Right? You know, you're saying you'll become, but no, you won't become. We're not the same. We're different. Ata ya esha samprasado smach charirat samutaya param jyotir upasam padya svena rupena bhini spadyate. The liberated soul rises from the body, reaches the supreme light, and becomes endowed with his own form. Chandogya Upanishad 8.3.4. Tada vidvan punya pape vidhuya niranjana param sam yam upaiti. That person, full of knowledge, washed of piety and sin, spotless, attains a form similar to the Lord's. Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.3. Atma bhavam nat yenam tad brahma jayinam mune vikaryam atmana sakya loka akarshako yata. O sage, the Lord bestows his qualities on the person who meditates on him by his shakti, just as a magnet produces similar qualities in iron. Vishnu Purana 6.7.30. This quotation shows difference. The Lord makes the meditator, Brahma Jayinam, contact the Lord's existence, Atma Bhavam, by a Shakti. The example of the magnet and iron shows this. It does not show complete oneness. Based on the statements of difference, one can establish the philosophy of difference with no contradiction by logical analysis of all statements. The oneness in the statement Brahmavid, Brahmaiva, Bhavati means that the jiva attains similarity to the Lord. The statements indicate attainment of qualities like ether, meaning the intimate association of the jiva and the Lord, since it is not possible that jivas become ether. So it's interesting, just the different approaches. So one shows the oneness, that some say oneness, but here we see there's a difference. So then he identifies everything there. While Ramanuja, through those oneness ones, he's showing in there where the difference is. It's a similarity. Yeah? Yes?
Do they at all accept the concept of eternally liberated jivas? Because the whole discussion is about how to get liberated and merged into the Brahma. But do they have that kind of concept?
That means the Mayavadis?
Yes, the Mayavadis.
I would think no. I would think that in their mind that eternally liberated jivas are Brahman. Yeah, so maybe because they can't see that they have a very simplistic philosophy, even though because they're mental speculators, it makes it sound like it's very, very big. You know, and very, very vast. They're not, but they're actually, it's very simplistic. It's just that, you know, there's Brahman and they want to be Brahman. Right? Because they don't want to suffer. Brahman is you know, that pure consciousness is not suffering. I'm suffering. I want to become that. But they don't understand that those qualities of Brahman, you can attain that similarity by being absorbed in Brahman, but you never become Brahman. You're the supreme Brahman. Does that make sense? The qualities are similar because we're all Brahman, but the supreme Brahman is unique. He's the source of all other Brahman. So, therefore, from the supreme Brahman comes the internal potency of Brahman, external potency of Brahman, and the jiva Brahman.
Because this whole lofty discussion basically comes down to Brahman transforms, because they again speak about vikara, mm-hmm. means somehow it's the same like Brahma Parinamavada, but they come to this point just later on in the discussion, not right at the beginning, like the first group, but then a little later.
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes down whether the Brahman transforms or the energy transforms, but since they don't accept the energies,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be Brahman.
Yes.
And that's it. It's like nothing to discuss more than that.
Yeah. It can't. So then it's just a matter of that transformation. Is it by bifurcation? Is it by reflection? Is it by the shadow? You know, and then that's all based on desire. But then the point is where does that desire come from? You know, because we're saying the jiva exists, and then because of material desire, then they take part in that reflection. You know, but they aren't a reflection; they're real. The material bodies, the activities of the material world, that's a reflection of the spiritual world. So they're taking elements that are there, but then they're misusing them. You know, it's like it's the common thing here is that people take something and then misuse it. So it's the same kind of principle. Just they do it in a very intellectual way, so it appears more glorious. But otherwise, you know.
I mean, even from, like, I think previous class we discussed that those who understand that the Lord is rasa,
yes.
by understanding that, they experience rasa in connection
yes.
to the Lord.
Yes.
So even from that point of view, not approaching from philosophical point of view, but approaching from enjoying or vishai point of view,
mm-hmm.
just accept Lord and the energy and enjoy. What's your problem? I mean, like, why should it be like so difficult?
Because then in the one, even though they're in enjoying, they're a subservient enjoyer. Mm. And they want to be the supreme enjoyer. That's how we got in the material world in the first place. Because they agree they want that enjoyment, but they want it without the context of the Lord and that relationship with the Lord. They just want to be in context of the enjoyment. So if Brahman is enjoyment, they want to be Brahman. You know, so they're not accepting that the, you know, the identity, the activities, the qualities, and the results or the experience is in contact with the Lord. It has to be I am the Lord, because that's the idea, is that all these things are going on, the transformations of energy, producing things that are enjoyable, I want to enjoy them. Rather than I offer them to the Lord, and then by offering to the Lord, then enjoying that, then I'm actually going to be supremely happy. Yes?
Also the context, like, not below the Vedanta is Karma Mimamsa.
Mm.
So if somebody wants to enjoy the material world, though they accept the Supreme Lord, but at the level of piety, then the whole theory of karma becomes very complex. Like, for example, in the case of Riga, just like one cow, it's not his intent, it's not in one sense his mistake even.
Right.
But then he is punished.
Yes.
So then people can realize that it's so complex that you cannot make a mistake. You cannot not make a mistake.
Yes.
So then they want to get rid of the whole thing instead of turning to the devotional. Mm-hmm. Because then when we turn to devotional, then as in the case of Amrish Maharaj, then even if the Brahmana is so powerful, then still it doesn't have any effect. But that is not understood, because then as soon as we say then result, then we form on the karma theory.
Yeah, because it's got to be one of these. It's karma, then you're involved in it, or if you're not involved in it, then it doesn't exist. You know, it's like the standard thing. So if I'm going to do, let us say, okay, you know, today is whatever day it is. Let's say it's Ekadasi. You know, I'm going to do a Nirjal Ekadasi. And so even though generally I serve prasad, you know, to the devotees on that day, because I'm fasting, so I have nothing to do with prasad, I will not serve. Is that so it's a very common thing that we think is, if I'm not getting the benefit of an action, I won't do the action. Rather than, I'll do the action for someone else's benefit. Right? You know, because if it's prasad means I'm enjoying, but the point is if I'm serving, it's for the enjoyment of the Vaishnavas, for the enjoyment of the Lord, then what makes the difference? Yeah. So that's a standard mistake. So the living entities therefore either pick karma or jnana. They can't, that bhakti, that's why it's so hard to understand. Seemingly. It's very, very easy. It's the most simple and straightforward. It's just we're serving the Lord and we engage everything in the Lord's service. So very straightforward. But then we'll have all kinds of doubts about that. And, you know, what about this situation? What about that? So the reason in karma that, you know, like Nariga, he does something wrong is that because the whole thing is about the ritual and the result from the ritual. It's not about pleasing the Lord. So even though you mentioned he wasn't his intent, but the whole point is intent isn't actually considered in karma. I do this work, I get this result. You know, I paid the money, I get the goods. It's not a matter of intent. So the intent will be is that if you're doing that work to please yourself, then that's going to be there. If it's the work, it's to please the Lord. That's where now you can start to consider intent. You know? Like that. Now within karma, it will be yes, whether intent or not. So therefore, Yamaraj will give that result. But the point is anyway, it's going to be very big because you're dealing with Brahmins, right? So now this mistake is had. What's the quality of these Brahmins, right? So that he got such a severe result. You know that they're very educated, and that because he's probably only bringing very highly qualified people. So that means minimum you're dealing with 10,000 times whatever it is. So if it's one cow, it's actually 10,000 cows. And then you have two Brahmins, that's 20,000. That's on a minimum. And if they're more advanced, it goes up from there. If they're self-realized, then it's 100,000.
And also we see that they didn't punish, they didn't say anything, they just left. They're just displeased, that's it.
Yeah, just by displeasing them. So that's what we're dealing with. Is that is there, so one can say, oh, intent. Yeah, and so it'll just be that much. It won't be more than that. You know, so, he stole a potato. Eternal damnation. Oh, he, you know, managed Auschwitz. Eternal damnation. You know, come on, there's got to be some difference here. You know, so that's the whole point is that there must be that discrimination, but the point is since there's that he will get punished or not, that doesn't matter. That it will happen. It's just the degree. The intent will show the degree, but it's not that he didn't mean to do that, he won't get punished, because he's working in the realm of karma, that I do work, I get results, and so therefore you did work, you get results. They can't, it can't, you can't complain about that. So that's the point, is the living entities in the material world, they've given up that intent of pleasing the Lord. It's about pleasing themselves. So since it's there, they're implicated in their karma. And then to that degree, it will be judged. But only the devotee, then he goes beyond the gunas, goes beyond karma, because he does things for the Lord. And so therefore, whether the work is really, really great or not, but the intent is what's important. So therefore, that's why the spider and the monkeys are getting the same benefit, because the intent is the same. Right? Does that make sense? And they're working to their fullest. So you could say, oh, but another monkey could also have a good intent and be flicking sand. But the point is he's a big monkey. Why would he flick sand? Big monkeys pick up mountaintops. You know?
So that's sort of like, as from Karma Mimamsa, one has to shift that from thinking about one's enjoyment to enjoyment of Krishna in Vedanta.
Yes.
But then the Advaitavadis, they become more self-absorbed instead of that. That's where then it becomes even more.
Yeah. Because now they're not controlled by these regulations, that they're dependent upon the stream. I'll get rid of all these regulations, I'll become the Supreme. Yeah. Yeah, it's not actually a very favorable position. Someone coming from the background of karma, it's easier for them in devotional service, in the philosophy, right, and the religious principles. Now, giving up the desire to enjoy there, that's another thing. But that will take time. But those coming from an impersonal background, the difficulty will be accepting those aspects of the philosophy, not dealing with philosophy. Right? And the Karma Mimamsa may or may not be comfortable with philosophy, but they can accept it. While those coming from the impersonal background, they have no difficulty discussing philosophy, but accepting it in its proper form, that's another thing. You know? So it's actually a more difficult position. So the whole point is that as it goes up, then the responsibility becomes greater. The attitude has to be better. The consciousness should be improved. So if we're using higher levels of consciousness for lower levels of things, then that's a problem. So that's why it has to be balanced. You're using the Vijnanamaya platform for attaining Anandamaya. Then it becomes good. But if it's just to become God, the animal is thinking that they're the supreme controller. You know, and only when something bigger than them catches them, there's that moment of realization. You know? It's like the frog, you hear them now and again, they go, you know? That means they've been, you know? You haven't heard that sometimes? Sometimes you hear this sound that you hear all the frogs rah, 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 like this. Then you hear one going like this. The sound goes like that up. That's the sound of a frog that's been caught by a snake. Right? And they make that kind of sound like, you know. Otherwise they're Professor Frog, you know, like that. You know, so he's knows everything, pontificating on everything and that, and when the snake catches him, it's like, oops. You know. Yeah, so we see is that there's an emphasis to the difference. One is emphasizing the difference. He's using the oneness aspects only to show that it's not that. It's different. Ramanujacharya is also showing the difference, but he's showing that difference is now you can develop a relationship with the Lord. That's then where the similarity is. So his emphasis is on the similarity in that they can have a relationship in the spiritual world. While the difference is just a part of the process. Well, Madhva uses the other way for those who, having heard that, still think, oh, I can become one. Like that. So they might worship the Lord to become one. then he just says, no, you're different, and just leaves it. That it stops there. But we did remember there was that one verse where he was talking about life in Vaikuntha. Then he was basically saying the same thing as Ramanuja. But it was only in Vaikuntha. In the material world, he doesn't give any opportunity for anything other than two. Like that. So it's just a matter of emphasis. You see, there's one philosophy. It's just what they're emphasizing in that philosophy. Yeah? Yeah. Mukto pas sripya vyapade shat. It refers to the Lord because he is attained by liberated souls. Brahma Sutra 132. Right? So it's talking about the Lord, so there's a difference there. So the liberated souls attain that Lord, but it's talking about the Lord. That means he's not talking about the jivas, means there's a difference. It is explained that the liberated jivas approach the Lord, Brahman. The statement becomes suitable. Muktanam parama gatihi. He is the supreme shelter for those who are liberated. Mahabharata 13.171.49. Difference in liberation is stated in Taittiriya Upanishad also. Raso vai saha rasam yeva yam labdvanandi bhavati. The Lord is rasa. Attaining the Lord, the jiva, becomes blissful. Thus, in all cases, difference of the Lord and the jiva is stated. Okay, so that ends Ramanuja's. Yeah?
No idea, Maharaj. It was not clear to me. That's why I didn't segregate.
Okay. But you get the thing where he says Ramanuja says this.
Yeah. Whether it's that sentence or the whole thing.
Okay. Okay. Asman mayi shri jate vishvam etat tasmims chanyo mayaya sanirudaha. From Pradhan, the Lord created this universe. In the universe, the jiva is restricted by maya. Sutta Sutara Upanishad 4.9. So he doesn't say that the jiva was created from Brahman here. I mean from Pradhan. Gya janau dvavajav ishan ishao. The Lord is in knowledge and the jiva is in ignorance. The Lord is unborn, is the controller, and the jiva is the control. Sutta Sutara Upanishad 1.9. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. The Lord is the chief eternal and the chief conscious entity. The single Lord fulfills the desires of the many jivas. Sveta Sutara Upanishad 6.13. Tayor anya pipalam svad vat yanasnan anyo bichakshati. Of the two, one relishes eating the fruit. The other, not eating, shines. Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1. Ajo hyeko jushmanano nushete mahat yenam bhukta bhogham ajo nyaha. One jiva enjoys and associates closely with those forms, while the other, having enjoyed, gives up those objects of enjoyment. Sweta Sotara Upanishad 4.5. Pumir apo nalo vayur kammano pudire vacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakritir astada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, as well as their sense objects, pratan, mahatattva, and false ego with the 10 senses, are my separated energies in 8 divisions. Aparyayam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayidam dharyate jagata. This is my inferior energy. But understand my superior energy, which is different from this inferior energy. It is the jivas who employ the inferior energy for their enjoyment. Bhagavad Gita 7, 4, and 5. Mama yonir mahad brahma tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhutanam tato bhavati bharata. The great expanse of Prakriti is my womb. In that womb I place the seed of all jivas. The birth of all beings comes from that, O descendant of Bharata. Bhagavad Gita 14.3. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesher junatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. O Arjuna, the Lord is situated in the hearts of all living entities. He engages in action all living entities who are mounted on a machine made of Prakriti. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. Madhva, in his commentary on Brahma Sutra 1.2.12, quotes the following. Satyatma satyo jiva satyam bhidha satyam bhidha bhidha satyam bhidha or satyam bhidha maitra ru vanyo mai varunyo. The Lord is real, the jiva is real, their difference is real, their difference is real, their difference is real. Do not protest, do not protest. Pangi Shruti. Yeah. Yeah, so just making sure that. Atmahi Parama Svatantaro. How you say? This would be, you know, it's just like how you have, I don't know of any more, but previously you'd have the. Sometimes you get to certain famous shlokas, you know, that are talking about, you know, basically everything's maya, you know, Griha Sutra, these things like that. And you get those kind of really hardcore brahmacharis, it's like the caste, and then the grihasas go, oh my God, another one of these ones, you know, like that. So, you know, you pull out this shloka, this is the shloka, the maya bodies go, oh no, not that one again. You
know? Also like, when somebody is arguing and you want to say something which makes emphasis, you beat him also three times.
Yeah.
It's like beating three times to say.
Yes. Atma hi parama svatantro dika guno jivol pa shaktir ashva tantro varaha. The Lord is supremely independent with most abundant qualities. The jiva has little shakti, is dependent and inferior. Bhal la veya shruti. Yateshvarasya jivasya bhedo satyo vinishchayat. Evam eva hi me vacham kartum ihar hasi. You should announce to this world that the Lord and the jiva different, or I guess are different and real. Yeah. So what is it? Jiva Goswami said 1/6 of the Vedas is there.
4%.
4%. Oh, even smaller. Okay.
This time.
Yeah, so 4%. So that means what I understand is the samhitas are all there. It's all the different shakas and their different aspects in that. Because like Samaveda had 1,000. Others have like 100, this, that, so many. And so then so much of that is lost, and that's where all these things will come in. So in some place, you know, Madhvacharya would go, probably somebody in their house, they'll have something, he'll catch that, and from that pull this verse. And that,
These ones all, Ballave, Shruti, Payange, Shruti, we don't hear much. Payange, we may hear, but there was another one which is quoted. That specifically Jiva Goswami says it's not interesting anymore.
Yeah, so some of them you don't have them anymore. No one has copies like that. You know, before they had Because now you have so many, their houses have, and but then, you know, the grandfather, this one, then passes away, and the kids don't know what to do with it, so they just toss it out, or, you know, maybe they give it to someplace, and they just keep it someplace, and then rats eat it, or, you know, whatever. You know, even Lord Chaitanya found that one, but the white ants had eaten. So, out of 100 chapters, only one was left. You know, so it happens. Riti, the author next explains the actual meaning of the Shastric statements, which indicates oneness between the Lord and the Jiva. Right? So now we've established difference, both from Ramanuja and Madhva. Right? Now, statements of non-difference indicate oneness of Jiva and the Lord because both have conscious forms. This is for the purpose of worship. There's no absolute oneness of their substance. Not very happy. Huh?
Maybe mom is taking him to the school.
Maybe. This is for the purpose of worship, because they're both conscious. There's no absolute oneness of their substance. To explain the reason for indicating oneness, a new section begins. The Lord who possesses Shaktis, and the Shaktis are described. Some explain this as follows. Pointing to the Yamuna River, someone will say, "You are the wife of Krishna," or "She is his wife." Pointing to the sun globe, someone says, "You are the husband of Samgya," or "He is her husband." In this way, one sees many examples in Vedic and common language where the controller, the deity of the river, and the deity of the sun, and the control, the river and the sun, are taken as one, using one word. Tattvamasi is stated to indicate the controller. The Jiva and the earth are well known as the residence of the Lord. Ya prithivyam tishtan. The Lord resides in the earth. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.3. Ya atmani tishtan. The Lord resides in the Jiva. Satapata Brahmana. Thus the meaning is that the Jiva is the Lord in the sense that the Lord resides in the Jiva. Thus there is no literal oneness. The followers of Ramanuja explain this as follows. In statements like Tattvam Asi, the identity of the entities by terms of apposition. Samana dikaranya does not mean that only one entity with no qualities exists. Since Brahman is defined as having qualities by uttering the two terms tat and tvam. Right? Because they say no qualities, but they're saying eternal and conscious. Right? So that's the point, is if there's no qualities, there's nothing. Right? If one does not accept that case, identity operates in relation to two modes of the same object. Case identity should be given up completely. So you have one word, and depending upon the case, it has different ways it's used. So if you don't accept, you just say it's all one, there's no qualities, then we should give up all these grammar that has to do with all these cases. It would be very easy. You know? No? Yes.
A little side point question, but we hear only Ramanuja and Madhva opposing Mayavadis. Does it mean that the Nivarka and Vishnu Swami were before the appearance of Adi Shankara, so they just don't discuss it? It's not there.
It could be. I mean, definitely we know Nimbarka, yes, because he was at the end of Dwapara Yuga.
Right.
Vishnu Swami also before.
He was also before. Yeah, so they're before. Okay. So then it's
so
natural. Yeah. So they were just establishing the Vaishnava, you know, position and all that. And then you see when the Shankara came, because he's bringing the... Because then you'd have Buddhism.
Right.
And then from Buddhism... So you had the Vaishnava, line going. Then, you know, people go out to become Buddhists. Then they're brought back in by Shankara, and now they have to be brought back to the Vaishnava. Yes.
Also, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya is known through only Vallabhacharya now.
Hmm.
Because everybody else is before, then he became the prominent. And he also very exclusively says that Jiva and then Supreme Lord is different and Bhakti is the process through. Then he emphasizes more on Bhakti directly. That's all.
Okay.
But as far as I understand, the original commentary of Sridhar Swami, he's from that line. Is that?
He's from Vishnu Swami line, yes.
Okay.
But that would be before Ballabha, because Ballabhacharya was just 500 years ago.
Yeah.
He was there, because remember, he was the one when Lord Chaitanya went across the river and then went into ecstasy, so Vallabhacharya brought him back, you know, to see that he doesn't fall in any problem. Because I think he fell in the river, so he thought, okay, we should take him all the way back to his place. We can't let him go on his own.
So now that the entire Sampradaya is represented by Balabhas.
Yeah, and so then he's mainly talking on bhakti and bringing. So any anomalies in the philosophy is just to establish bhakti. So it appears he doesn't talk as much on these things like that. Because it may have been already done by Sridhar Swami and others before. Do you know how far back Sridhar Swami is?
Just taking
way back.
Take some time.
Take some time.
Because
okay.
There are many other people by the same name.
By Sridhar Swami. Meaning the one just behind TKG.
That would still be good. There are Mayavadis. That would still be good. There are Mayavadis.
Oh, okay. We're having to go through them. Yeah. Not this one. Because it would be impossible to have any difference caused by the function of words, right? Because then you're saying that. So if the grammar is showing difference of words, why are we using it there? Because we're saying it's all one, then we would just say, one could only say this is this. You can't say anything else. You know. So if you removed all those grammatical inflections and everything like that, then you just have you know, just... you know, everything would be, you know, it would all be the same thing. You know, in the present I eat, in the future I eat, in the past I eat. There is no lakshana in, quote, this is that Devadatta. Since there is nothing contrary to perception of the same Devadatta in past and present time. Contradiction by difference in place is rejected along with difference in time. Yeah, so he's saying that there's no indirect meaning here. This is that Devadatta. Right? So there's no contradiction in place and there's no contradiction in time. Right? It means we know Devadatta in the past, and now here's Devadatta, and somebody doesn't know that this is that Devadatta, so you're saying this is that Devadatta. You know? So here's the Devadatta that was that Devadatta in this place, and here's the Devadatta was that Devadatta in time. Right? So therefore then does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's no reason to apply lakshana here and say, no, but actually it means something else. You know, he's a popsicle or something. You know, no, there's no need to do that.
He's a century before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 14th century.
Sridhar Swami. Okay. He was a century before Lord Chaitanya. So then he's also one of those that establishes the environment. You know, Sridhar Swami and then was it?
Hmm?
Yeah, Madhavendra Puri, and then we also have Jayadev Goswami and like this, and then you can nicely have the line. making jiva equivalent to the Lord would be contradictory to the introductory statement, Tad Aikshata Bahu Sham. The Lord glanced and thought, may I become many. This describes duality. The promise of all knowledge by knowing one entity would also not occur if the faulty jiva is the Lord. Right? Because if you're saying, if you know this one, then you know everything. But if the jiva is the Lord, there's unlimited living entities and they're faulty. So by knowing any one of them, you would know the absolute. Right? Because they're saying, oh, they're all the absolute. So if you know any of them, then you... So, yeah. The Lord whose sarup is knowledge, who is devoid of all faults and omniscient, cannot be the shelter of ignorance and its effects, which are not the purushartha. Right? So the absolute that's beyond, it can't be the shelter of ignorance and the effects of that. So he sees his energies are the shelter of that. He's the shelter of the energies. But he's not a shelter of the ignorance. Does that make sense? Because we're under the ignorance. Using lakshan in the statement of apposition to negate previous mistaken ideas of plurality using adishtana lakshana, only the substrate Brahman exists, and nivritti lakshana, jiva without its limited upadis, to order equate, in order to... To order equate means in order to equate, no? Tattvamasi is a fault. So then they're using these grammatical, you know, jugglery here to try to say that no, this only means the Brahman underneath, the substrate Brahman. Because then there'll be this, so if there's substrate Brahman, then there's some other aspect of Brahman and this and that, but then there's only Brahman. So they just play with words to make it work for them. You know, in other words, they're like politicians. They just speak in whatever way makes it work that you agree with them. And it doesn't matter if what they're saying actually makes any sense or not. As long as it gets their idea that they're God, then they're good. Here are the details. One cannot make assumptions by negating something which has not been acknowledged. Just as one cannot negate silver if one does not confirm that it is a shell. One cannot negate the jiva by the word tat, Brahman, without establishing additional qualities in the substrate, Brahman. But, does that make sense? So it means you're saying that the... this one. So if you're saying tat, there's only Brahman, but the thing is you have the tat vam like this and then asi, so you're having these three aspects. You are that, and so that means you can become that. And so there's a transformation, there's all these different things that you're saying. But if you're saying that you don't exist, then how can you say that it's not there? You don't exist, how do I negate something that doesn't exist? We're saying the jiva doesn't exist, then how do we say there's only Brahman? Then why are we worried about the whole thing? So in other words, by their philosophy, we don't even have to acknowledge their existence. We don't even have to talk about them because they don't exist. So we could have a program on the stage and invite all the Mayavadis to sit on the stage with us and everything like that, give them all mics and all that to speak, but not turn on any of their mics. And then when someone complains, you know, why aren't we hearing from them? Then you just announce that according to their philosophy, they don't exist because the jivas are illusion and all that. So there's no need to hear from them since they don't exist. We'll hear from the Vaishnavas who say that the world is real and that it's coming from the Lord. Be interesting to see what they do. So now a doubt. The word tat establishes the substrate which had its sarup previously hidden. That cannot be so because it is impossible to misconceive and negate it without its prior manifestation. Right? So it's saying that is the substrate and then, but it's not seen and so then it's hidden so then it can become out but you haven't established it before. Right? So how can you negate the position that you say is not there? Does that make sense?
It's like double negation. They negate that which was never established. Is that
yes,
the point?
Basically. Means that if it's illusion, then why do we have to negate the illusion to get back to Brahman? So the point is you should be establishing Brahman. But they're trying to establish that they are Brahman. They're not actually trying to establish Brahman. We establish Brahman. And establish the jiva and establish the world. Then we show the relationship and then how to get from this mistaken consciousness to the proper consciousness. But they're just talking about Brahman, but they actually don't know basically anything about Brahman. They know it exists, but they only accept very minimal about it. Because they're only accepting that Brahman, you know, is unlimited and unchanging. But they're not accepting that Brahman desire to expand as many, Brahman then controls the material energy, Brahman then through the pradhan impregnates the living entities and makes everything happen. They're not accepting any of that of Brahman. So it's their understanding. They basically spend their whole time showing how they'll be God. They don't actually show what is Brahman. You know, and if you're not, if how can you say that Brahman's the substrate if this is all illusion, so you don't exist? So then how would this go back to Brahman? So you are always Brahman, but the point is it's you who becomes, I am that. Otherwise you would say that is that. But then that means then there's you, then this. But the whole problem is then there's a perspective in which you can perceive it. So that whole point is they can't establish that position that they are Brahman to remove the cover. It's like you have a gold ring, you drop it in the mud because you have the substrate of the gold ring, but the gold ring has been proven. Then you wash off the mud, and here you have the gold ring. But they haven't established that they're Brahman and that they're covered, you know, like this. So they're just trying to establish something that doesn't exist. They're trying to establish that they are Brahman when they can't actually prove how Brahman would become them. You know, they have their funny ideas, but as you see, each school has a different idea of whether we're real or not, whether we came from, like that. And two schools, they're saying the exact opposite of each other. And then the third school then negates both of those by saying Ishwara and the Jiva are real. Like that. So that it's a problem. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Maharaj, Sridhar Swami was a Mahant of Govardhan Math in Puri.
Oh.
So that's why the whole thing. He has to be a little careful and then present the whole thing in a mood of bhakti fully.
Oh, okay. So he was in the Shankara line.
Yes.
But at the same time as he's in the Vishnu Swami line.
Yeah, but the philosophy then he preaches, he accepted like, you know, and then.
Are you sure we're talking about the same Sridhar Swami?
That's what it's mentioned according to the Vaishnava. He's born in Ramuna.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.